start our evening, O come all ye faithful, although some might say, oh, come all you, I'm not all sure I would say all wise ones or not, because of the weather, but it's so good that you've come tonight, and I think, I don't know if we started yet, but we were going to try to live stream this tonight too for those who couldn't be here because of the weather and other reasons. We want to celebrate Christmas Eve tonight, and so welcome all of you who come and those of you who are listening on Facebook. Appreciate it. Let's start our time together by standing and turning to hymn number 128, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
This is our Christmas affirmation. Advent hope moves us. Advent love leads us. Advent joy stirs us. Advent peace stills us, that we might affirm our King Jesus. It is time we set flame to this Advent affirmation by lighting the Christ candle. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. He was the long-awaited Messiah whose coming was prophesied. The same Jesus lives today in our hearts. He deserves our highest loyalty and total commitment. In Jesus Christ, our hope is fulfilled. Our love is consummated, our joy is complete, and our peace is sealed. Rejoice, a Savior is born. A Savior is born indeed. Joy to the world.
Amen. Thank you. As you are able, would you stand with me as we share in the call to worship? In your bulletins, would you read responsively after me? I don't believe it's up on the screen, so we're used to it being up here as well, but in the bulletins, if you'd respond accordingly. Tonight, old dreams die and new dreams come to life. The promise is fulfilled. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Hope gives way to joy and prayer to proclamation. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Our candles illuminate our story. Dawn invades midnight. The light of the world has come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And this light is a light for all, igniting a flame within the soul, warming us from within, radiating love, lighting our lives with the presence of God come alive in human flesh, within us and among us, now and always. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. You may be seated. We certainly have much to be thankful for as we gather here this evening. I realize the Christmas season comes with a mixture of emotions for some. For some, it's elation and celebration and joy and anticipation and all those things. And for others, Christmas also comes with some of those senses of loss over the last year. Perhaps there are some here who have lost loved ones, and it brings with us sometimes a sense of discouragement and a despondency maybe, and sometimes even things like hopelessness. But the one thing that Christmas does for us is it overshadows all those other things that may be a part of life as well. And that is, in Christmas, we see hope. At Christmas time, we see hope. We see God who came incarnate into the world as a little babe in Bethlehem. And He gave us hope. And that hope was fully realized when some 30-some years later He gave His life on the cross at Calvary and rose again, that we could have the greatest gift ever given. So we start that celebration tonight as Jesus came as a little babe in Bethlehem so many years ago. So I'd like to just lead us in prayer tonight. I know sometimes we ask if there are those who just like to shout out something they're thankful for. Maybe for the sake of time and getting people home while they can still get home, we'll skip that, but note that there is much to be thankful for tonight. And so we want to give thanks to God. So I'm going to lead us in prayer tonight, and then if you would join with me following the prayer with our Lord's Prayer. God, we give you thanks and praise as we gather here tonight for the fact that we come to celebrate the greatest gift ever given. We come to celebrate your inbreaking into human history as a little babe in Bethlehem so many years ago. God, come in human flesh. Thank you for that gift. We think of people like Simeon, Anna, who got to see this little babe shortly after birth and realized that what they were waiting for was fulfilled. We think of the shepherds that came and saw the little babe, and the angels instructed them to worship. The wise men, the kingly figures that came from afar, and they came and bowed down and worshiped and gave gifts to the little babe in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you so much for that gift. And as we gather here this evening, we thank you so much for the hope that we find in that gift. Lord, I pray for each and everyone here tonight. I don't know where everyone is in their faith. I don't know where everyone is in their life. I don't know what's going on in their lives right now. But God, I pray that each and everyone would realize, no matter what, that tonight as we gather here, one thing we definitely can experience is hope. It's hope. And that hope springs eternal. That hope is not a hope that lasts for a season. It's not hope that lasts for a few years. It's not a hope that just lasts for our lifetime. It's a hope that lasts for eternity in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that gift. And I pray that each and every one of us tonight recognize, realize, and receive that gift of Jesus Christ into our heart and soul. We give you thanks and we give you praise in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." At this time, Les and Joshua and Loretta are going to share with us special music, "What Child Is This?"
Thank you. The lesson today is from Micah chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
As Sherilyn is getting ready to sing for us this evening, and I believe Loretta's going to play for as well, I want to announce a couple things. One is that the poinsettias that are here tonight, if you have a poinsettia that you have in memory or honor of someone, you can take those with you tonight as you leave. Many of them might be left over here for tomorrow morning, too, and if there are those who'd like to come and take them tomorrow as well, you could do that. Number two, we just want to take some time right now. I know as you came in this evening, there's an offering plate out there. There's the Christmas offering envelopes. Just want to remind you that any money that's put in the Christmas offering envelopes is used for the pastor's discretionary fund. And for those of you who are visiting with us this evening, it doesn't mean my Bahamas trip. It's used for whatever kinds of needs that might come up. Someone has a need, I can help them with that need. And so just wanted you to be aware of that. So while Sherilyn is singing for us, we're not going to pass offering plates. I just want you to sit here and thank God for the blessings that you and I have in our lives, for He has truly blessed us. And that's one reason why we gather here tonight to honor the one who has blessed us. So do that while she sings, and then we'll have the doxology.
Long years ago, on a deep winter night, high in the heaven, a star shone bright. Well, in a manger, a wee baby lay, sweetly asleep on a bed of
for all that you give to us. The gifts are many. the greatest gift is above all. We want to thank you this evening for the privilege of giving back to you. Thank you for that privilege. And may all that is given tonight be used for your glory and for your purposes, your agenda, and none other. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I mean, you can sit even when I don't tell you to sit if you want to. I mean, it's like it's amazing how people just listen to you when you actually do something. We had a bunch of kids that were going to sing Away in the Manger tonight, but a bunch of the kids are not here. Now, we do have some. Do you want to come up and sing with me? We're all going to sing. We're going to have everybody here sing Away in the Manger. Their version is going to be up here on the screen. Lucas and Elise are going to come and help me out here tonight, aren't you? Crew wants to help out too? You want to sing too? Okay, let's sing. All right. You're all going to help us out tonight, right? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. We're going to sing Away in the Manger. It's up on the screen there. And this is kind of the kids' version with lyrics. So, let's sing Away in the Manger. No problem. We may have to sing it without them, possibly. Is it Frozen or it is? Do you want to sing it without? I can help us get started. Do you want to sing it without it? We can do it, can't we? Huh? Oh, looks like maybe he's back. Possibly. It just doesn't want to do it, does it? Should we start without? Ready? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Awesome, kids. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. You know, if you want some candy later, I'll get you some candy. Why don't you stay up here, though? I'm gonna read a book. You want to come up and help a little bit, Amber? June Bailey is a kid's book author from our church. And she has written a book, and I know you two have heard it all. No, you haven't yet, have you? Have you heard this book yet? Here, let's sit down. Sit down here. I'll read it to you, okay? And I think if you can get it up there, you're getting it back. There we go. It's up there for you as well. Let me tell you a little bit about this book before we get started. It starts out a fictional book. But the ending of the story, I think you'll really appreciate. So bear with us as we start with this, about what is going on around Mackinac City here. Santa knew what good are all the... Whoops, let me start with the right page here. I'm at the beginning, am I? There we go. Here's page one. All right. Why did Santa come to the Straits of Mackinac before Christmas? You would think he would want to be keeping an eye on the elves in the workshop, but he put Mrs. Claus in charge of that years ago. She and the elves have a magic touch on reaching the deadline of making the toys, and they always turn out perfect. Santa knew, what good are all these toys if the reindeer were not in shape to make the trip flying around the world on December 24th? He knew a place in America that the reindeer would love as much as he did for his training center, the Straits of Mackinac in Michigan. Santa never told a soul that they were coming. He wanted to keep it a secret. It wasn't a secret for long, though. When the people started seeing the sleigh and reindeer flying around in November, they knew something was up. Something big was up. Training started out very slow for the reindeer. They looked like they were going to drop out of the sky at first. As they got stronger, they were so fast that you could barely see them. But you would hear the sleigh bells from miles away and Santa's voice ringing out from a distance. Faster, Dasher. See that ship down there? Let's circle in, Rudolph. Please turn on your nose. It's getting foggy out. They would fly around and around all the islands and the straits, the tall lighthouses and the beautiful dark sky park. Plus the three historical forts nearby. Not to be forgotten, the mighty Mackinac Bridge. During the aurora light show in the sky, it would take your breath away watching them fly over that bridge. The reindeer said, "We get it, Santa. This is so beautiful. This is why you picked this place for our training center." Santa just smiled and said, "Isn't this glorious here? But this isn't it. You'll see." One time Santa let one of his elves, Frank, exercise the reindeer. Frank wanted to do something different, so he flew them under the Mackinac Bridge. Frank thought that was so much fun until the bridge authority contacted Santa and told him that there was a big no-no. Frank got in big trouble for that stunt and was never allowed to drive the sleigh again. Santa took them to Mackinac Island. This island doesn't allow cars to get around, only horses and bicycles in the summer. And in the winter, they put their bikes away and get on a few snowmobiles. There is no other place in the world like Mackinac Island. It's also known for the Grand Hotel, and grand it is. It has the longest front porch in the world and goes on and on and on. Santa knew that they were ready to start landing in tight places. He flew over the hotel, swooped down, and lined the reindeer up for a perfect feather-light landing on that world-famous porch. Comet whispered to Prancer, "I bet this is why Santa picked this beautiful area for our training." Santa heard them and laughed. "This is extra special, but it's still not the reason." Tom from Chambers Stable saw them land and went over to welcome them to the island. "Would you like to see our stable and meet our horses? We could even feed if you are hungry." "Yes, thank you. That would be great. My reindeer are always hungry," Santa said with a chuckle. Cupid and Donner said, "This is like heaven, Santa. Thank you for bringing us here." They knew this had to be why Santa picked this area for the training. The horses gave them a tour around the stable and fed them their secret grain blend. Dancer said, "This is so good. What's in this?" They had never tasted anything like it before. The horse named Big Red said, "Maybe we'll tell you if you teach us how to fly. We want to be rain horses." Santa walked in as they were talking and said, "Maybe I'll teach you how to fly someday, but not today." Tom told Santa the secret to the grain recipe was adding fudge. You see, Mackinac Island is also known for making the best fudge in the world. You can get fresh fudge on every block in the house, in the town. It is so delicious. Have you ever had fudge? Good stuff, isn't it? Rudolph asked Santa to please add it to their grain in the North Pole. "It makes my nose brighter. It really does. See?" "Santa, this must be. This has to be why you picked the Mackinac Straits for a training center," Cupid stated. "Isn't this nice? But not this. Be patient, my four-legged friends." Of all the places in the world, why did Santa pick the Mackinac Straits to exercise his reindeer? Was it because of the mighty Mackinac Bridge all lit up at night with ships passing under it? Or the beautiful lighthouses and the historical forts to fly over? And that awesome grand hotel with that porch? Was it because of the aurora sky at night that took your breath away? Or the horses that fudge and that fudge on Mackinac Island? Oh, that fudge is so good. All of this was part of it. The reindeer was sure of it. But there was something very dear to Santa's heart here. What was it? What could it be? We have one final stop before we leave to get the toys to the North Pole. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I'm so proud of all your hard work training for our big trip. the children will be so grateful to receive the gifts our elves have made. Are you ready to see why I picked a special place? Up, up in the air they went. They circled over the Mackinac Bridge, then over Fort Michilimackinac, and landed in front of a church. The Church of the Straits. It had a huge, gorgeous nativity scene on the front lawn. They watched Santa step down from the sleigh and slowly bow down right in front of baby Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Come on, Dave. There was Mary and Joseph between baby Jesus and all the animals. The reindeer gathered around Santa and bowed. Santa said, "Let's pray." They thanked Jesus for being born and for protecting them in their life. Santa prayed something else, but the reindeer couldn't hear. They knew it was something very important that Santa asked him. They even thought that they'd heard Santa cry. See, if Santa cries, I can too. Blitzen was the first to speak. "Santa, isn't this why you started giving gifts to all the girls and boys?" "Yes, this is why. I wanted to do something special to honor Jesus Christ on his birthday. This is the true meaning of Christmas." He was silent. Then Donner asked, "Why do they call his birthday Christmas?" Santa said, "Think about it. Baby Jesus' name is Jesus Christ. Christmas." All the reindeer had tears in their eyes. They got it. They were so happy to be such an important part of celebrating Jesus' birthday with the world. We now know why you picked the Mackinac Straits. It's so beautiful here. Santa, can we please come back every year in November and train here? I was hoping that you would say that. It's kind of nice here, isn't it? Yes, they all agreed. It's an extra special place. We love it here. And visiting baby Jesus and this special nativity scene makes our hearts glow inside with love for him. The reindeer were whispering back and forth. "Okay," Santa said. "What are you talking about?" "Nothing, nothing," Dasher said. Then Vixen spoke up. "What were you praying to baby Jesus about?" "Well, some children in the world don't understand the true meaning of Christmas. It's like a secret to them. They think it's just about getting gifts and nothing else. I was praying for a way to help children understand and to help them get to know Jesus. If they knew him, they would make their life and Christmas much more enjoyable." "Let us think about it, Santa. We might have an idea. Okay, one more thing before we fly off. I have a sweet little gift for you. Is it fudge?" "I hope it's fudge," Panther said. "Yes, it's fudge. Enjoy. You deserve it." After they were finished eating, Comet looked at his friends and winked. Santa knew something was up again. "We're ready to take off, Santa." Up, up, and away they went. All the reindeer called out so everyone in the streets would hear them. "Happy birthday, Jesus." "Ho, ho, ho," Santa said. "I love it." "They say that every time we take off tomorrow. This will help children understand the true meaning of Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Happy birthday, Jesus. And thank you to all. And thank you to all of you in the Straits of Mackinac. We'll be back next year for training." Yeah, that's kind of cool, isn't it? Awesome. The end. There you go. All right. Kids, thank you for coming. There are books for sale, by the way. If you would like one at some point, I'm sure June would be happy to do that for you. And I know some of the proceeds actually are going for youth work here in Mackinac. So thank you for that. I wanted to do something as we kind of close our time with this part before we actually do the Christmas readings and the carols that Christmas hymns that we sing here. And that is just to wrap all up what you just heard. Did it catch you a little bit by surprise? The story of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas, was right there in that little book, and you heard it. You know, it is the greatest gift ever given. You know, I was thinking of the Old Testament in chapter 9 in Isaiah. When Isaiah is sharing with us the words that were used for this one that was to come, and he calls him these things. He says, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end." I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, in that day when Isaiah wrote this, Israel, the northern kingdom in particular, was heading south, ready for exile. They were probably a despondent and desperate people. They were people that had lost what they had had before, when David and Solomon and all the glory and splendor of what had happened, and they had conquered this new land filled with milk and honey. And now, in the context they were in, there was darkness, there was defeat, there was depression, and yet here's what Isaiah says to them. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. In the New Testament, same kind of thing when Jesus came on the scene. The birth of Jesus at a time when the Jewish people were under the authority of Rome, a once proud people, now they were oppressed. And I imagine they were feeling darkness, defeat, perhaps depression, indifference, incoherence, insecure, a bunch of those kinds of feelings. And yet, what happened was Jesus came on the scene. Oh, they didn't know at the beginning what was really going on. I mean, the shepherds didn't really know what was going on when they came to that little manger in Bethlehem and worshipped this one that was just born, because the angel said, go and do so, and they did, with some fear and trepidation, but with joy when they met the little one. But they didn't know. They didn't know what really was going on here. They just had an inkling. Or the wise men that came a while later, and the wise men came from afar, and they came and they worshipped this little babe in Bethlehem. They knew there was something special, but they really didn't know what's going on. This little babe was also the one that was later called the Lamb of God. He was called a king. And he was the king of a kingdom. A kingdom that wasn't like the kingdoms on this earth. It was a kingdom. It was a heavenly kingdom. And he came and he showed us what God was all about. Fixing the problem that was there from the time of Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, when they sinned. And God had a plan many, many years later to solve their dilemma, which was sin. And this one named Jesus, who came as a babe in Bethlehem, and then later, 30-some years later, died on the cross to pay what you and I couldn't pay for, and to raise again, that we could have the forgiveness of sins, that we could have eternal life. That was the greatest gift ever given. And in that book we just read, that's what Sam was doing. Praying and thanking God for that gift. And he wanted everyone else to know about that same gift. It is Jesus. Life is worth living because of Jesus, isn't it? Amen? Amen. It's great. God, thank you. Thank you for this great gift. In the day when Jesus came into human history as a babe in Bethlehem, no one knew exactly what was going on. Even when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples didn't know in fullness what was going on, even though they were told. And when Jesus rose from the dead and lived amongst us for a while, they started to get it. And then, when you left this earth and went back to be with the Father, and you filled them with your Holy Spirit, and throughout the whole world, this story, this true story, was told, and many people recognized the answer to what ails them is, was, and always will be Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to have, as we have done each and every year for the last many years I've been here, we want to narrate the the story of Jesus. And as we do that with some hymns and that sort of thing. And I'm going to have you, you can stay seated while you sing these hymns. I'm going to have you sing the first O Holy Night, verses 1 and 2. And then Sherilyn is going to read the first text of the story of Jesus' birth.
Holy Night.
About this time, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the nation. This census was taken when Quirinus was the governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration, and because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, King David's ancient home, journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn.
Thank you.
that night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," she said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising, "Glory to God in the highest heaven," they sang, "and peace on earth for all those pleasing him." When this great army of angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. At about that time, some astrologers from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in far-off eastern lands and have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, and all Jerusalem was filled with rumors. He called a meeting of the Jewish religious leaders. "Did the prophets tell you where the Messiah would be born?" he asked. "Yes, in Bethlehem," they said, "for that is what the prophet Micah wrote. O little town of Bethlehem, you are not just an unimportant Judean village, for a governor shall rise from you to rule my people Israel." Then Herod sent a private message to the astrologers, asking them to come see him, At this meeting, he found out from them the exact time when they first saw the star, then told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the astrologers started out again, and look, the star appeared to them again, standing over Bethlehem. Their joy knew no bounds. Entering the house where the baby and Mary, his mother, were, they threw themselves down before him, worshiping. Then they opened their presents and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when they returned to their own land, they didn't go through Jerusalem to report to Herod, for God had warned them in a dream to go home another way.
Of our time together tonight, and as we do each and every year, we have a candle lighting at the end. I'm going to have you, before the lights are turned off, if I could have people stand up and we'll just gather around a big circle around the sanctuary. Most years it's very easy to do. We have to stretch out a little bit more this year. But just a reminder, as the light is lit in a dark room, it's amazing what one little candle light can do. And you and I are called as believers in Jesus Christ to let our light shine so that those in the world can see that light and realize, for one, their own inadequacy and their own sin, and realize that they need the Savior of the world to come into their life. And so we have that opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask them over here if you'd stretch out a little bit so we can reach all the way around if possible. We'd like to go all the way around the church. So let's stretch out a little bit here. Come around the end there a little bit. And we'll do that. Go ahead and get the lights. I'll get us started here.
when you grab your bulletins on the way. Oh, good, the music is up on the screen too. So we are going to be singing Shine of Light. And every time when we sing that song, any time a reference is made to Christ in some way, shape, or form, we will lift our hands up high and put them right back down again. So that shouldn't be too hard to do. If you see someone next to you doing it, then they may do it as well. So just a moment here, and we'll have Loretta, let's go ahead and start with the first verse this time.
Tonight, be safe out there. It looks like things have died down. I can see trees out there, which is good news. So be careful on the way back home. Remember to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas as you gather with family or with whomever tomorrow. We will be having worship here tomorrow morning at 10:30 as we normally do. So if you'd like to come back for that, we'd love to have you as well. So anyway, Merry Christmas to all of you. Amen. Amen. You can turn the lights on so no one trips and falls. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Ye Yeah.
I am. Yep.
Yeah.
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 Yeah